Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
We are in the midst of a series that I'm really enjoying. And we had quite a week last Sunday. I was just all kinds of things stirring around inside. And I think a lot had to do with what's going on in the earth right now.
And the prayer, the prayer attitude that we
were practicing
last week. Yeah.
And I really like what you shared about praying in the Spirit. She shared it with the team here. Praying in the Spirit is so important. We have no idea of the powerful impact we're having when we're praying with our understanding and in the Spirit.
We might not know, but we expect it.
We expect it. In other words, we may not see the specifics of it. We're praying for a situation maybe at work or maybe family members in a different state or maybe a different nation. The nation of Israel, mm-hmm. where we're in it, we're, you know, thousands of miles away, mm-hmm. but we're praying and we're expecting change.
Exactly.
We know that God is working through our prayers.
And we can say that because James 5 says the prayer of the righteous
powerful
is effective.
Powerful and effective.
Or the King James says it avails much.
Absolutely.
It gets a lot done.
Absolutely.
It gets a lot done.
Nothing
Glory
could be
God.
More powerful than a faith-filled prayer.
Amen. Amen.
A prayer that's born out of confidence in the love of the Father and confidence in the finished work of His Son. Those are powerful prayers that the devil can't stop. Hallelujah. So we are talking about fear. This is part three of our series, Fear. And what are we doing? We're exposing criminal activity. When I was growing up, now I'm just having some fun with my past here. Don't go. Let's go easy. I was part of a culture where underground criminal activity.
You won't say what culture.
Was criminal. Highly likely. Let's say that.
And called upon.
So if you needed something, you knew the right people to talk to.
We won't say what culture.
Underground. I don't know. What's the word here? Anyway.
Criminal
behavior. So there's some, organized criminal behavior. So what am I saying is there's stuff going on behind the scenes. In the realm of the spirit, there is organized crime, and Satan is the head of the spiritual mafia.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
pretty much, he's the Don, and he's got the plans to try and steal from us, and to confuse us and discourage us. Now, Satan's been totally whipped,
defeated.
Jesus absolutely stripped him of the authority that Satan had stole from man.
Right.
Whipped him and rendered him powerless. We have to grab a hold of the knowledge of that. So this series is about exposing the criminal activity of spirits of darkness.
Absolutely.
The spiritual realm. And they come, when they come, there's always a trace of fear attached. There's always something that will trouble your peace. Anytime your peace is troubled, be on the alert and stand up, keep your armor on, and worship Christ and take authority over that fear. Anything that's troubling your peace is never from the Father.
So good.
Never from the Father. One of my favorites, Smith Wigglesworth, used to say, if my peace is disturbed in any way, on any line, mm-hmm. I know it's from the enemy. So God is a God of peace.
The Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The author of peace. Satan is the God of confusion, fear, lying, and that's fear.
Liturgy.
Little G.
Little
yeah,
G God.
Little G, absolutely. Defeated little G.
No authority
absolutely,
G.
No authority G. So we want you to recognize fear's activity in your life because fear attempts to work in our lives. We have authority over it. We don't have to be afraid of it, but we do need to recognize
it.
Because if you don't recognize it, and usually doesn't come in like, you know, broadcasting, here I am, I'm fear. Usually it's a little thought, and it might be cloaked in unforgiveness. What's behind the fear of unforgiveness? Well, it could be that I feel they've hurt me so bad now that I'm missing out on something,
I missed out
on what could have been.
Because
boy, I saw that a lot
did.
In my family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and boy, they carried it with them for decades.
Right.
I can't forgive because of what they did to me.
Right.
A week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. because of what I missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? There's a fear there
mm-hmm.
that this person is so powerful, they prevented my destiny.
Right.
Now, they don't articulate that. They don't
right.
even think like that. But that's really what you're saying. If you think someone's inappropriate conduct towards you or someone's offense in your life is stronger than your destiny, you're misinformed. God is greater than what anyone has done to you. And so instead of getting mad at them, put your confidence in God the Father and know that He has a way of turning it around so you won't miss out on anything. And if you'll trust in the Father when He's done moving in your life, you'll be so far ahead of what you thought you should have had. You'll be rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
So understand there's fear attached to the strategies of the enemy. Unforgiveness, there's a fear under that. Or I'm going to get hurt again is a part of unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get hurt again, so I'm not going to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start, you recognize these subtle little gangsters, these little criminals, and they come into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anxiety. I'm anxious about something. Why? Because I'm being tempted to believe there's a bad outcome coming.
I'm going to be hurt.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to believe in a negative outcome, and that brings anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you combine them. You got unforgiveness. You got anxiety, and now you've got multiplied potential for stress.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this person hurt me last year. And I believe that I missed out because of what they did to me. I'm giving them power, right? And now I believe that something bad is going to happen because of what they did to me and the way things look in my life right now. What is that? That's fear working in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's fear coming at from multiple angles. I've got to learn to recognize it as soon as it shows up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The moment unforgiveness shows up and presents itself to me, what do? I say, Father, I thank you. I forgive them.
Amen.
And I bless that person in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for them, Father. And I pray that you bless them.
That's so good.
I pray that you reveal your son, Christ, to them. And you begin to pray for them. And fear doesn't know what to do in that. Unforgiveness freaks out when you start blessing and praying for that person.
Right.
And then start rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
And then start lifting up your hands and say, God, it's amazing what you're doing in their life right now. It's amazing that you're greater than what they did to me and what you're doing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You're causing me to prosper. You're moving me forward. And then anxiety comes in and says, what about this work situation? This is what's going to happen tomorrow when you show up at work. Father, I praise you. You've already gone ahead of me tomorrow into work. What am I doing? I'm stopping fear from operating in my life. And you do it with your mouth. Now, you've got to have something to say.
That's right.
That's in agreement with the Word, because it's the light of the Word and the love of the Word, that the God's Word is love, that dispels fear.
You know, you're saying two things here. You're saying the important to recognize fear when it comes.
Yes.
And then to take action with
absolutely.
Your mouth. Concerning that fear. So there, you know, and this is important because there is an attempt on every side in culture and in this realm to normalize fear.
Yeah.
To say, well,
just part of life.
Everyone gets afraid. Well, and then even some go further and say, well, fear is a good thing because it, you know, teaches you to look out for this or whatever. There is such an attempt in this life to normalize it, to say, well, everyone has these problems. The problem with that is that you then take a receptive position and receive fear because you think you're supposed to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing it does is it shuts your mouth to it because you're like, well, everybody has this. And and you don't address it or you don't know the words to say because now, like you said, if you're not forgiving someone and because of what they did 30 years ago, guess how you're going to look at everybody else that comes in your life? Yeah. Well, how are they going to hurt me? How are they going to hurt me? Right. How are they going to hurt me? This becomes your mode and it becomes normalized.
Right.
And we're saying that love has come and perfect love dispels, as you've been saying, or casts out fear, takes action against fear. And not only takes a determined or decided action, it's just the nature of love. Once it comes in, fear is gone.
That's it.
And that's just so good. So we become so familiar with love that fear just can't stay. And that's what God offers to
us. You should have several scriptures engraved on your heart regarding fear. Like 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us
a spirit of fear,
but of power and of love and a sound mind. That means it's not from God and it's not for me. 2 Timothy 1:7. Mm-hmm. I mean, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear. So do not fear, for I am with you.
Glory to God.
Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27. Whom shall I fear? I could go on for quite some time. There's three doozies right there.
Well, we'll take those doozies then.
Yeah, grab a hold of those. There's three great scriptures right there that will absolutely strengthen your heart and enable you to recognize fear and kick it out of your life.
You know what I like about that first one, 2 Timothy 1:7, what you said, is that it gives us a picture of the proper spirit. You know,
yes, love, not a spirit
power,
of fear.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
Power.
That's why is why we can expect what we're saying, because God's word says it. We're not just like saying positive things to get rid of the bad things. No, it's from the word of God, and the word of God tells us what we can expect from God in walking with him and having his spirit dwell in us. This is why we can be so confident that fear has no place in our lives, because we've been given
so good.
The other picture, power,
so good.
Love, and a sound mind. Amen.
I want to read to you from 1 John. This has been our main text, starting in verse 9 of chapter 4, 1 John 4. I'm going to read you just 9 and 10, and then maybe 18 and 19 there. We read more verses than we initially started. Let's start in verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested, revealed, shown toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, into the world that we might live through him. In this selfless, powerful manifestation of the love of the Father, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Let's go to verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, last Sunday, we exposed the root of fear. If you didn't, go back and listen to these again. Get a hold of the nourishing food that these two chefs, by the power of the Spirit of God, are bringing to you every week. The root of fear was exposed. And just as a little refresher, is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, what is the root of fear? It is the idea that God is against me, that he is not for me, that I'm separated from him, and there's nothing I can do about that. That is the root of fear. All right, we looked at Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, where it says, through fear of death, Satan was holding mankind in bondage. Jesus whipped him and rendered him powerless so that we could be free from that fear. What is death? We defined that last week. When we look in the scriptures, the Bible shows us what death is. Death is separation from God. And the root of fear, this idea that God is not for me, was man's first fear. Let me say this. It was the first fear that was presented to mankind. God is not for you. This is the root of fear.
He's a competitor. And you're the loser.
he can't be trusted.
That's right.
You're not sure what he's up to.
Oh,
he said one thing, but he's not pleased with you. He might do another. Man. You better get out while you still can. Mm. What happened to the first man and the first woman? Well, the head of spiritual organized crime,
the serpent,
Satan, the adversary, the one who was against mankind, presented some lies to man.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? God is not for you. We can just sum it up that way. God is manipulating you.
He's not truthful.
He's not truthful. You can't trust him. He's afraid of you. He's trying to keep you down. Oh, man. Listen, this is the first fear presented to man.
And still prevalent today.
Still prevalent today, absolutely.
Still used
today. Religion still promotes it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So what happened? When that fear was presented to man, man acted on this lie, acted on this fear, and in so doing, he separated himself from God. Wasn't a stitch of truth in it. God was totally for him. God loved him with all of his being. God was for him. God had an amazing plan and purpose for him and his wife and their children for the human race.
He blessed them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So man acted on the first fear presented to them and separated themselves from God. And God began moving to get his son into the earth as soon as possible. It was an amazing feat. What God accomplished. But Jesus came into the earth. He paid the penalty for mankind's sin and removed the separation that man brought about and enabled anyone through faith in Christ to be reunited with God as their Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if acting on the lie of fear, if that's what separated us from God, what brings us back together with God? If acting on the lie of fear would separate us from God initially,
mm-hmm.
what would bring us back together with God? Acting on the truth of his love for us.
Okay.
We read that in 1 John 4.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is how we know what love is. God gave his only begotten son for us. He revealed. So we act on that truth.
Mm-hmm.
God gave his son for me.
Mm-hmm.
I put my faith in Christ. Now I know God is for me. He tells me in his word how for me he is many places. 1 John 4 is one of them. So what do? I put my faith in his demonstrated love for me.
That's wonderful.
Now I know God is for me. Mm-hmm. I act on that. I act on the truth of his love for me. This is the antidote for fear. Acting on love. Acting on love instead of acting on fear. And I want you to begin to meditate in God's love for you and find these scriptures. We gave you three scriptures regarding fear. Meditate in those. Worship the Lord with those. Let those sink down deep into your heart so that you can begin to act on love, the knowledge of God's love for you, instead of acting on fear. Now, in 1 John 4, I don't have it up here, but I think it was verse 16, tells us, we read that, I think, last week, certainly 2 weeks ago, that God equals love.
Yeah.
Now, let's use a little algebraic equation here, okay? God on one side of the equal sign, love on the other side of the equal sign. Same. God is love. God equals love. Well, we do have a 1 John 4:16.
Yeah.
Pop it up there. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Have you known? Do you know, as sure as you know your name, how much he loves you? If you don't know that, that's step one. That's really the whole of life right there. You've got to know that it's fine that he loved your grandma, but you got to know he loves you.
That's good.
You got to know he loves you. You, the you that's listening to this message, he loves you. And we have known, we know he loves us as sure as we know one and one or two. We know, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Now stay with me. I'm going to give you an algebraic equation that's going to help you become strong in love and live free from fear. God equals love. God equals the Word. The Word equals love. God equals love equals the Word. Why is that important? Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter, not 1 John.
The Gospel.
Gospel John. Mm-hmm. Chapter 1. Same author.
Fourth book.
Holy Spirit through the Apostle John. The closest person to Christ while Christ was on the earth. The Apostle of Love, they call him.
Yeah.
John chapter 1. Remember, God equals love. Love equals the Word. You're going to see how important this is. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word. Capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who are we talking about? Talking about Jesus. Why is Jesus called the Word of God? Because words are the expression of what is in our heart. Jesus is the expression of the heart of God. When we speak, it's out of the overflow of our heart. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the expression of God's heart. God equals love equals the Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, the Word. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 4. In him, the Word, love, was life. And the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness. Look at this. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness does not understand love. It is an absolute, it just tilts your adversary's mind. He cannot figure out why God loves you. Because your adversary is looking at your faults. He knows you've fallen short. He knows you deserve condemnation. And in the midst of what you deserve, God gives his son for your behalf. That will never compute with Satan. That will never compute with spirits of darkness. They don't understand the love we're preaching. But it is the power to set you free and keep you free. You knowing and believing in the love God has for you.
You know, an interesting quality about light, you're talking about light,
yeah,
is that you can know all the technical parts of it and study the science behind it, but knowing all of that is not experiencing it.
That's right.
And so
gotta turn it on, baby.
Yeah, but you know, this is why we pray for people.
Yeah,
that the light, you know, that the eyes of their inner man would be enlightened.
Yes.
We pray,
yes,
from Ephesians. But you know, you said they don't comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they haven't, you know, experienced it. We,
yeah,
have experienced this.
That's right.
This life.
That's right.
And this light. And so you continue to pray for those around you who,
yes,
have not, because it's not something that comes by comprehension. As it says, darkness did not comprehend it. It comes by a revelation, and we just pray that. Yeah.
So good.
So good.
God equals love equals the Word. Why is that important? The Bible should not be a legalistic book to you.
Good.
If it is, you don't understand love. The Word of God, the Bible, is the book of love. And you've got to learn to see the love of God on every page. God equals love equals the Word. When you're learning the Word of God, you're learning the love of God. When God speaks, love is talking. When Jesus speaks, love is talking. There are two places in our Bible that we look regularly to hear love talking, to see what love is. The first place we look in our Bible, come on, Highway family, is in the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. I don't know how many times I've said that at Highway Church, but it's a lot. And I'm going to say a lot more. If you're looking at the Bible as a legalistic book or just a history book or a science, whatever, however you're looking at it, you need to look at it through the eyes of love from now on. It is the heart of God, the love of God revealed to mankind. Yes, there's a lot of crazy stuff in there because man rejected God and man chose to act upon evil and listen to the adversary. And there's horrific things in the Bible, but God gave man free will because real love needs real freedom. Okay, so don't let the foolishness of man's behavior and all of the choices that mankind did, don't let that distract you from the love of the Father. So you look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts to see what love is. And then what's the second place, Highway family? Look at the promises of God to see love clearly. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So do not fear. Isaiah 41:10, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Who shall I fear? These are the promises of God, and in them we see love defined for us. When you realize how precious the Word of God is, it will become a major priority in your life. I'm going to say it will become the priority in your life, not in a legalistic sense. Not like I've got to do this, I've got to do that, oh, I can't. No, I need to know what love is. And I need to walk strong in love and free from fear. So I'm going to make hearing messages left from Highway Church a priority of my life because I need to be connected with a ministry that teaches me God equals love equals the Word that can give me the person and ministry of Christ and the promises of God so I can see love clearly. Are you following me? Let's look at some love. Let's look at some love here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse 9, we're going to read through what love has done for us and how love has made it accessible for anyone to experience. Anybody can step into this today. Anybody can experience love. Remember, we're going to read a promise here. We're going to understand love more clearly here. This goes with 1 John 4, 9 through 19 that we looked at earlier. Goes with John 1, 1 through 5. Romans 10, 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I don't know how, it can't get more simpler than that. This is love talking.
Simpler.
Yeah, I don't know how to talk English. You just have to interpret this, right? So here's what love says.
Yep.
So mankind's wondering, is getting to God even possible? I mean, what do I got to do to somehow get on God's good side, at least for an hour? Is that even possible? Look what love says. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raises from the dead, you're in. Anybody can do that. See how accessible love is. Then verse 10 says, for with the heart, love explains how we're made.
So good.
See? You won't be confused about yourself anymore when you learn what love is. Love is functional. Love is applicable to all that you do. It will teach you how to operate in your daily life. For with the heart, okay, so my heart is really important, yeah. For with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. Whoa. When I believe in Christ, I become righteous, yes.
Yes, that's what it says.
You better believe it. Absolutely. For with the heart, so with my heart is really important. If I believe in Christ, I become righteous. And with the mouth, man confesses, speaks, resulting in salvation. So what do I need to do to become righteous and to be saved? I need to believe in my heart that God raised Christ from the dead for me. I need to believe in Christ. And I need to say with my mouth, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. Mm-hmm. How long did that take? About 4 seconds? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it changed my whole eternity. It changed my whole heart. It changed my whole life. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. It's that accessible.
You know, sometimes the hearing of that can take some time. Because as you said, there are people who have lived their entire lives wondering if they can be on God's side or God's team.
Right.
And that's going back to the beginning. That's that original fear, that original lie.
I'm separate
that
from
I'm
God.
A competitor with God, or God is competing with me.
He's trying to keep me down.
That
I'm separated from him.
He's good and I'm not.
Yep.
But did we remember what we said, that we only love him because he first loved us? Mm-hmm. And the more you meditate on that, the more you hear that, then your heart does get activated. And just like the light from before, you can hear this and clink, 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 clink in your head. And, okay, I get it, you know.
Right.
But until that, your heart gets engaged. Mm-hmm. And that may, you know, that takes listening and hearing. And that's why we're so happy, those of us who already believe in our Christ, we're so happy to go over this gospel with whoever would want to know. We just keep going over it and keep saying it, because the more that you hear it, that heart activates, you believe, and then you say at your mouth, and you're saved.
Yeah, that's it.
So good.
So what are we reading here? This is so powerful. Remember the first fear that man acted on is that God is against me. God is not for me.
Right.
God is trying to keep me from something. Well, when we look in the scriptures that we've read so far today, we see that's absolutely not the case. Nothing could be further from the truth. So why is the word so important? Listen to me. I was talking with a friend just a few days ago, you know, and they said, I'm trying to have faith. And I said, you don't have to try and have faith. What you need is the knowledge of his love for you. Mm-hmm. When you get the knowledge of his love for you, faith is automatic. I used you as an example. I said, I don't have to try and convince myself that Jennifer's going to be there tomorrow. I hope my wife's there when I wake up. I don't have to do that because I know her. And there's nothing you could tell me about her. I know her too well. You don't. I do. Okay? I've got this relationship with her. We've been made one, so forget about it. I know her very well, better than anyone else on this planet. All right, when you get the knowledge of his love for you, you won't have to try and have faith. Where do we get the knowledge of his love for us? We don't just sit there and pray for it. Oh, give me knowledge of your love. Well, that's great. You can ask for the knowledge.
That's a place to start.
Yes, that's. Mm-hmm. But you've got to move forward, and that's a father.
Yeah.
Give me the knowledge of your love. Show me how much you love me. But I've got to open my Bible. The Word gives to us the knowledge of His love for us. It spells it out for us. There have been times, man, I was facing some stuff, and I didn't feel confident, and I got before the Lord, and I just had to sit and open the Word to one, two, or three of the promises of God and meditate on them. And the fear just lifted, and confidence was underneath it. We need the Word of God. Don't think of the Bible as a legalistic book. You'll miss out on all the power and life it brings. Mm-hmm. The Word of God, I'm talking about the Bible, Genesis through Malachi, Matthew through Revelation, spells out, defines, clearly describes to us who love is and how love behaves so that we can access it, enjoy it, act upon it, and live in it. Him.
That's good. You know, my experience with the Word of God when I was growing up was something that we had to memorize in order to do. And that's what Joshua does say. It says, you know, to meditate in the Word day and night in order to observe,
it's good for you.
To do.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But even more than understanding it as of things to do, what we love to emphasize here at Highway Church, it is a revelation of what we've become, right? Who God is.
That's right.
Who we are now in him.
That's right. That's right.
And on all the things he's done for us. So I know that seems like a simple little shift, but if you find yourself kind of trudging through the Bible looking for what am I supposed to do, maybe just make that little shift and understand this is who God has made me now to be in him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, again, now the heart gets involved and I begin to see that I'm not separate from him. I've been made new in Christ. Mm-hmm. This is now who I have become because of his love.
That's it.
I only love him because he first loved me.
That's right.
And that's not you do for me, I do for you. It's not like that. It's not, okay, God, you did X, Y, Z, so there I have to X, Y.
Right.
No, none of that. It's so compelling what God has done through Jesus Christ and in giving us the Spirit of God that we would be transformed by this love. Mm-hmm. And literally not even be thinking about doing X, Y, Z anymore. We just become what he has destined us to be, which is in Christ.
There is no fear in love.
Hallelujah.
There is no fear in love. Same book in Romans, we just go back a couple chapters to verse 1. Again, this is love clears up the confusion. God's not condemning you. God's not against you. God's not trying to put you down. He sent his son to lift you up. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. We are doing this series because we want to help you, teach you, empower you to act on love instead of fear. Mm-hmm. Highway family, act on love instead of fear. In order to do that, you have to have knowledge of God's love for you. That love is given to you in his word. So when we talk about the Word of God at Highway, I mean, I run after the Word of God. I cannot get enough of it. Why? Not because I'm trying to get on God's good side. I'm on his good side. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I'm sitting on his right hand with Christ. Why? Because, man, love just fills you up. Love heals. Love makes you strong. Love nourishes you. Love clears up the confusion. Love enables you to see straight. So we invite you to just run after the Word of God. Make knowing the Word, knowing the person and ministry of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the promises of God a priority in your life and act on them. Mm-hmm. Act on them every day, every day. Right in the face of fear, act on the promises of God. Right in the face of fear, act on what God has said. Act on what God has said. Rejoice in Him. Delight yourself in Him. Gladden yourself in Him regularly, constantly. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4 says. Hallelujah. We really don't have time to listen to fear because we're too busy rejoicing, right? We're too busy rejoicing. We don't have time to complain or to be discouraged because we're too busy rejoicing. Love rejoices. Love smiles. Love is happy. Love is glad. We don't have time to complain. Why? Because love rejoices. We're rejoicing. We have just filled our calendar with rejoicing. If someone gets a hold of me and say, hey, can I meet with you on such and such a day? If my calendar is full, I'll say, I'm sorry, I can't.
So fear comes, sorry.
I can't meet with you, fear.
I can't meet.
My calendar is full. Well, what are you doing? I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm delighting myself in Him.
Yeah.
He's the stronghold of my life. He's my shield, my shelter. We invite you to come forward with us. If you're not already a member of Highway Church, we invite you to jump on board. Get on the highway and just discover how good God is. You can go to our website, highwaychurch.us, and check us out. We've got a ton of stuff there for you, Bible studies, podcasts. You can contact us if you have any questions, if you need prayer, click on the contact page. Not only do we have our weekly worship services live, Bible studies usually on Wednesday nights. This Wednesday coming up, starting a brand new one called The Deeper Life. It's going to be amazing, amazing. But we also have... a Zoom meeting once a month, usually a Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to be a part of that Zoom meeting, go to our highwaychurch.us/contact or our contact page. Send us a message. Just put Zoom in the subject, and we'll add your email to the list, and I send out a link about 5 minutes before the meeting. The next one's on November 2nd. All right. We've got a pop-up coming up in the Tulsa area. We're going to be live in person at the Alt Room in Tulsa off of 51st. And it's on November
2nd.
Did I say 2nd?
3rd.
I'm sorry.
Thursday?
Yeah. The Zoom meeting is not on the 2nd. The Zoom meeting is on like the 7th, I think. I don't know. So the 2nd is the pop-up.
Six.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Election day is the
7th. Okay. So Zoom meeting is Monday, November 6th. Thank you very much. And then the pop-up, the next pop-up at the Alt Room in Tulsa is on Thursday, November 2nd, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. I get all that right.
They can find it all on the
website. It's all on the website. Listen, if you're in the Tulsa area and you want to come or you just want to come from any area, again, go to our website, highwaychurch.us, and /Tulsa, and put your name and email in there, and we'll keep you in the loop for the latest, greatest news from Highway.
We've been enjoying those pop-ups.
Oh, they're fun.
Just go out to a designated place, public
and
place,
pop-up,
and just worship and
encourage people.
And just have a good time of fellowship.
Laugh.
Yeah.
Tell some good jokes.
We've met so many people. We're so... glad to have met so many people coming out to those. So we enjoy that, and we're looking forward to November 2nd.
Highwaychurch.us/Tulsa. Listen, we want to worship the Lord with our money. Fear of being without, fear of lack is another fear. Psalm 16, verse 5, New English Translation says this, Lord, you give me stability and prosperity. What?
I love that.
When God gave you His Son, He gave you stability and prosperity. He made your future secure. Psalm 16:5, New English Translation. He's given you financial stability in every other way, and he's given you financial prosperity and in every other way, and he's made your future secure in every other way, financially and otherwise. But you got to know that and act upon that, act upon his promises. This is one way that we act upon love, is we worship love, the Lord, Jesus, God the Father, with our money.
Hallelujah.
Come on, right? Husbands, you know that your wife enjoys receiving gifts. Jennifer reminds me regularly, I love flowers.
I do love flowers.
I love flowers. What's that? It's a hint. Get some flowers. I love flowers. Right? Love gives. We want to worship God with our money. And let me help you get on track. The love desires that you are connected to a church, that you hear who Jesus is, what he's done for you, who you are in him every single time. That's why Highway Church started. So if you are connected with Highway Church, bring your worship to Highway Church. Worship the Lord with your money at Highway, with the tithe, 10% of your revenue. What does that do? Spiritually, it says, I'm connected to this.
Right.
I've put my stake in the ground. That doesn't mean it's the only church or ministry that you listen to or go to. It's you got to have a home base. You got to have a place that you know I am connected to the word that's being ministered there, and I'm going to hear it every week. I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to grow in it every week. There, you got to have a home base. You got
to
have a place where you go and you are fed regularly. That's called church. We're going to get into that soon, too, talk about what church really is. That's coming up in our next series. So we invite you, if you haven't made Highway Church your home church, prayerfully consider it. And if you have, man, worship the Lord. Bring your tithe unto the Lord and worship him with it at Highway. Now, offerings, you can bring offerings too. We give offerings at all kinds of different places. Yes. Maybe missions, could be other ministries, could be other churches. Mm-hmm. But our home base is Highway, not because we're the pastors here, but because we believe what God is doing here. Mm-hmm. We believe in the word that's going forth here. It's not from us. It's coming through us, but it's not from us. Mm-hmm. It took decades for this word to grow in us, a long time for God to do what he did in us so we could give it to you. So we invite you to plug in, to put your stake in the ground and begin sowing and bringing your tithe and worshiping God with it. There's something about putting your stake in the ground and making a commitment that gives God ground to work with. You just kind of float and bounce back and forth from that church to that church and this ministry. You gotta put your stake in the ground. You got to put your stake in the ground. And we've had our stake in the ground since I first came to know him and learned what church was all about. And we're not taking it out. So this is your opportunity to put your stake in the ground and worship the Lord with the tithe, with the place you're being fed. At the place you're being fed, you can go to highwaychurch.us, click on give, the giving page there. It's got all the different ways you can give. And the information's there on your screen. You can text the amount you want to worship the Lord with to 508-502-7733. You can worship through online. You can worship with your assets through our website. Very powerful.
Yeah.
Our Cash App handle is Highway Give. You can do so through Cash App. There's all kinds of ways to do it. Mm-hmm. But when you do it, act on love. Say, Father, I thank you. Let's pray right now. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you. You've provided this church for me.
Hallelujah.
A church that I can put my stake down in, that I can hear your word regularly, that I can be fed and nourished each and every week through the revelation of who Jesus is, what he's done for me, and who I am in him. Thank you, Father, for providing this church for me. And we sow, Father, into this church, Lord, that you would be glorified, that this message would spread all over our nation and around the world, mm-hmm. and that the expansion of your kingdom would continue in the earth. And we thank you for it, Father. We bring unto you 10% of our revenue. We bring unto you offerings on top of that. And we worship you with our money because of the way that you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.